Well, hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we love to talk about on you, bruvs. I'm Ronnie. Guess who I'm with? His name rhymes with Han. It's Ben. Hi, Ben.
Hey. Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing pretty well. Had a had a lovely weekend. I'm ready to dive back into the week. What's going on
Mondays,
with
Mondays, am I right?
Truly. Truly.
Well, welcome back, everybody. It's Monday, June 6th, okay? And we're really excited to be here. It's our final Top Chef recap for the season. Pretty depressing. I'm not going to lie. Pretty sad about it. Because Top Chef's not going to be back for a long time. And, like, when are they going back to Tucson? I mean, sometimes glamour is just taken from you too soon.
Don't cry because you're losing it. Cry because Gail ate it.
Don't cry for me, poor Argentina. So, yeah, that's ending. But guess what's not ending? Take a Seat, which is our live show on Spotify. We do that every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific and 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Mountain most of the year. We'll be doing that tonight. So tell us what you want us to talk about and meet up with us. We can talk with you. You can talk with us. You can talk with each other. Okay. Lots to talk about tonight, mostly involving Lisa Rinna and Beverly Hills Trash, which I'm gonna love, truly. Of course. And that's that for that. The rest of the week will be normal time. So let's get into Top Chef, shall we, Ben?
Yes, it's the grand finale of Top Chef Houston. Tonight is the finale of Top Chef, and my bangs will anoint someone Top Chef.
Congratulations, chefs. You've made it to the end, but there's still a lot left to do. I have so many things to sign. Get in line, please.
So, what are the things? There's so much left to do. For instance, this afternoon, you'll all be dropping things into deep fryers to see if you can make a legendary Tucson dish.
Let's see how many people Booty can rip off in one finale. Wow. Is that a Picasso? Wow, Buddha ripped off... Wait, your song is singing... your plate is singing Candle in the Wind. Did you rip off Elton John for this finale, Buddha? I love that Eric Repair called Buddha out. He's like, this is 80s and 90s. And Buddha's like, it's yours. Or I saw it on YouTube. It's like... Creep alert!
But by the way, do you mind if I rewind 1 second to introduce everyone to our finalists, including Evelyn Garcia, the hometown hero who packs a punch with a unique blend of Southeast Asian and Latin cuisines, and also being dumb. Sorry, I had to say it, finally. Oh, feels good to let it out.
All your former competitors are on standby and will fly here if you choose them as your sous chef for this challenge. Now, please go back to the tents you've been provided to ask for dollars until tomorrow.
So, anyway, so now they all, it's like, it's evening and they're back in their hotel and they've got to, like, call their fellow contestants to get a sous chef. So Sarah calls up Robert, who is the one that she was eliminated with on a double elimination. And so she asks him to be the sous chef. And then Evelyn calls up Joe and she's like, hey, you're coming to Arizona, girl. And she's like, oh my God, is Jonathan Waxman there? Because I pretty much only go where he goes. Just saying.
I mean, I could have chosen anybody for this challenge, but I'm funniest with you. Welcome to the new Queens of Comedy. We're crazy.
And Buddha does. I was so afraid he was going to do this. I thought, please don't do this. But of course he does it. Of course he calls out Big Dumb Jackson.
Big Dumb Jackson. The guy can't even taste. Okay? Like, the guy literally has no taste. I thought he was going to pick Noma.
I thought so too, actually, because Noma can do molecular gastronomy and things like that. But no, he went for Jackson. It was shocking.
Yeah. And Buddha's like, well, if I'm not beating him, I want him next to me to beat him off. Did I say that out loud? I think that means something different in my country. So then they're down to one BMW. Dong. We get the top chef. Dong. And Buddha's like, guys, I think we're going into the city. Yes, you're going into the... It's Tucson, okay? There's three large buildings. You're going into the city. Like, what the hell, Buddha?
No, you're going to the biodome. Of course. I only say the biodome because one time when I went to Tucson, I did make a day trip to see the biodome in person. And it was not amazing. They don't let you in. It's really dumb.
They don't let you in.
No. You walk around, like, no. You walk around the perimeter and you look into like foggy glass. Of course, it's foggy in there or mist. It's like there's condensation on the windows.
Yeah.
And then you have a kooky lady who teaches you things. And I remember I asked her, I was like, I said something like, well, it must be pretty cool that you get to work at the biodome. And she's like, well, I believe we're entering the age of Aquarius. And, you know, Mars, they're going to come for us and they're going to take us to the next astral plane. And I was like, oh, okay, well, this has been a great tour.
Put down the wet soil, lady. All right, you're sniffing a little too much wet soil.
she's had a little bit too many of those biodome fumes go into her brain, I think.
Yeah, I said they don't let you go in. Like, I would be mad, but I would not be. I do not want to be in a biodome. That sounds disgusting. I'm in a biodome. It's called Earth. Okay, it's gross enough.
It's of course, it's like the most obnoxious touristy thing that you go to visit a place that's all about like creating a habitat and preserving it and be like, I want to go in it. I want to go in. It'll be fine. Like, it's like literally the worst idea, letting tourists go through a habitat.
I know. We've ruined it with one walkthrough. It's like, well, it's a monkeypox COVID hybrid. Got on a celery leaf and now the whole biodome died. Yeah, I don't need to. I live in my house. That's enough of a biodome. Okay, I cooked with onions the other day, and the rest of the weekend I was like, do you smell onions? Does anybody smell onions? I still smell them. They were somewhere. It's like one little onion flew off somewhere and I smelled it the whole weekend. And my sister was like, open the window. And I said, what are you, fucking crazy? The house will start on fire. It's so hot here. It's like 100 degrees. I was like, I'm not doing that. We're sitting with the onion smell. That's it. I took a shower, the onion smell was still there. I put on fresh clothes, the onion smell was still there. I cleaned all the counters with the lemon shit. The fucking onion was still there. No, thank you, biodome. I'll die hungry. Well,
no, thank you, biodome.
Yeah, fuck off with your survival. So they get to
there are people listening who don't even know what the biodome is. That's the sad part. It's a relic of the 90s. Everyone look it up.
It's also a movie from the 2000s, right? Wasn't biodome
like a Pauly Shore movie?
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Pauly Shore. So they go to this like big relic building, and Padma's like, hi, I've got a shawl, but only half of it is on my shoulder. The other one's around my arm. Now just try to see things straight from now on. Anybody confused? I thought so, poor people.
Well, I was afraid that if I put the shawl all the way on, it might attract too much local attention, and I don't know, I just don't want to wind up in that cage where Gail's been held above that restaurant from last week.
We're here at the Peanut County Courthouse. Many big, huge decisions have been made here. Like, we're at the courthouse? Guys, look, Top Chef, I know it's been a rough year. It's been a rough year for all of us in the world, okay? But the courthouse? Really?
Many big decisions, including last night when Gail tried to elope with a chimichanga. They didn't approve it.
The culinary epicenter of downtown Tucson, the county courthouse.
We're at the court.
Why does spearmint gum cost as much as a Snickers bar? Conundrums. Huge decisions made here last night.
And we are about to make the biggest decision of the season. Do we put Gail into the biodome? Everyone raise your hands. This is happening right now.
We tried it. Sorry, we tried it before the vote. The biodome rejected Gail.
But she is applying to be a member of a brand new Charleston Chew Dome. Not sure what that is, but she's very excited about it.
Each one of you will be responsible for making a four-course progressive meal. We want to taste abortion rights and inflation. Stephanie Reiser and Eric Repair will be there. Pretty impressive, right?
Oh, and Gail.
I'll just let that just sit in the air for a moment right now.
Anyway, huge decisions were made here last night. Huge. Sorry, Gail slipped in.
Gail tried to get that parking ticket reversed. Huge decisions made here. Just enormous.
And for the first time ever. Yeah. Go ahead, Ben. Yeah. Please. Yeah.
Oh, okay. No, you do it, other me.
No, it's fine. Ben Tom. No, Ben Tom. Okay. It's no, all right. It's up all to right, you, Ben Tom.
Okay. Well, we just made another big decision on which version of me is going to talk. So, for the first time ever, we asked you who you want to be your sous chef, and we promised to fly them in. So, here they are.
Objection! Objection. The defense rests, Your Honor. That is sustained.
That's not even correctly used court terms, Padma.
I'd like to approach the bench if Gail would get off of it, please. Thank you.
How is Gail not a judge? I've never seen someone benched more than her. please welcome the Honorable Milu Gail Simmons. So Dom makes a dad joke, which I didn't really catch. But also I love that they're acting like they just really went over the top with their budget to fly a sous chef in on Southwest. You know they did. Yeah. You know someone got stuck sitting with Big Dumb Jackson in that middle seat on the South in Group C because Top Chef ain't even paying the like check-in early $25.
Yeah. Well, and you know, he's late, so he winds up in the middle seat. And you know, and if by chance he's on JetBlue, I feel bad for the person in front of him because you know he's doing some sort of word scramble on the TV and he's pressing the screen hard and you feel it and you're like, God damn it, stop playing the quiz game. And you hear the tap, tap, tap. You know that's Jackson. Be like, oh, I got the trivia wrong.
And he's mouthing the words to it with like little things of spittle at the corners of his mouth. You know he is. You know he's one of those people.
And you know he's changed his drink order three times. He's like, I'll have a ginger ale. And then she starts to put the ice in the cup. She's like, oh, actually, is it too late to do orange juice? And she's like, no. And she gets out the orange juice. She goes, no, actually, I think I'll do the ginger ale afterwards. And you're like, oh my God, this is why I can't go to the bathroom. Because the cart is stuck in the aisle for 10 minutes dealing with this one person who's tapping the screen.
Oh, thanks for the orange juice. Oh, it's ginger ale? Oh, can't taste. Really don't know why I made a big deal out of this drink. It's mostly for the color.
So then, speaking of which, so all the sous chefs come down the staircase and they all line up and then Padma turns to Jackson and goes, how's your sense of taste now?
I see your taste in clothing hasn't improved. How's the taste on your tongue, big dum-dum?
Would you like to taste the gavel? Because we're at a courthouse.
And Joe is there and she's like, well, I'm not surprised to see Buddha. And you know, Sarah, she's a survivor. Yeah, we know. She like rips animals apart on the side of the freeway and like turns them into hot dogs because she doesn't want them to go to waste.
Yep. So then Padma's like, today, each of you will have $1,500 to shop at a variety of markets. Quote unquote, we're in Tucson, where the contactless MasterCard will allow you to tap. Less time, more markets. You get the drift, right? Do I have to spell this out for anyone?
It's the Gale MasterCard. Sorry, I meant contactless.
As in her sex life. Contactless.
So they split off to plan their menus, and Sarah's like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. Hunter-gatherer from Michigan. I was like, oh, for Christ's sake. Oh, so then Evelyn has decided that she's been on a journey, so she's going to, you know, do something on her journey. And I was like, please let it involve like blended up beans because I know somehow it's going to. Evelyn loves a blended bean.
And Buddha tells us, well, there are three people in my family, so I want to have a course as a tribute to each one of my family members, my brother, my mom, and my dad. And then since I have a fourth course, since I apparently have no one else in my family, and I can't even remember who actually visited me on my family challenge, I guess I'll dedicate that one to America and no one else, because there's no one else in my family. I'm like, sir, you have talked about your wife every single episode. This is our pasta dish that we ate when we watched Golden Girls for the first time together.
This is a
piece of bread that my wife told me I should eat once, and I loved it, so I call it For My Wife Bread. Like, everything. And then now, for this four course thing. He's like, I only have three people in my family and the fourth course will be dedicated to America. I'm like, sir, she flew all the way out to this damn show to eat your food down in Galveston. His wife is at home
making divorce pasta. Yeah, that was cool. He's like, yeah, can't think of anyone else. God, I wish I just had one more. Thankfully, I've got Flo, the progressive woman. Who's more American than that? So Sarah's like, well, I brought miso because it's from this company that uses spent products for miso. Because I want to talk about waste. The more we can use the entire product, the better it is for the earth. I'm like, wow, trash miso. That's your theme.
I know. Well, I'm here to win Top Chef, so here's some trash miso.
Wow. So garbage disposal miso. That is your theme. Wow. Sarah,
I mean, it's cool, but like, but also it's the finale. We don't, it's like, here, I've made this out of waste. Okay, I don't mind if I'm using waste product to fuel my cars or even to make a tablecloth of some sort, you know, like, oh, this is recycled product. I don't need recycled scraps in my food that I'm eating, though.
That's, yeah, like, that's not...
I'm not talking leftovers. I'm talking about, like, waste.
Wow. Or at least trash
not,
me
even
so.
If it's not... I'm sure it's totally benign and fine, but the way she presented it, it's probably just like, oh, when you make something, there's this part that just sort of... There's like this byproduct that you create, and they use the byproduct to create a miso. That's probably what it was. But she calls it, you know, spent product and she's talking about food waste. I mean, just like,
yeah,
not words not, I want to hear in my Top
it's
Chef.
It's like,
finale.
Wow, my finale dinner, Goodwill. That's what I'm going for. That's what I'm going. You know that smell when you go into the Goodwill and you just smell kind of old clothes that you know you can wash, but still you wonder how every Goodwill smells the same? I'm turning that into a steak. It's like, wow, delicious, delicious. So she goes over her menu, and I don't listen because trash me so. And then Evelyn is starting with a ceviche, and I'm like, I don't know. I'm worried about her already because, you know, Evelyn I picked to win. I love my Evelyn. I want Evelyn to win.
Yeah.
But I hate when it's a finale night and they're like, you know what I'm doing? Crudo. Come on. That's what you're doing? No. Well, raw fish? No.
A ceviche can actually be, it can be really wonderful. So I was not turned off by it because it can, like, there have been some ceviches and crudos that have been, like, outstanding. So I was okay with it. There were other things happening in the kitchen that alarmed me more, and we'll get to them as they come up. But I was okay so far with this part.
Yeah, to me, it's just like a cooking competition. And there have been so many comments made by the chef, the judges over the years. It's like, wow, I was really looking forward to a cooking competition. Did you mean to just give me raw fish? So that's why I was booing. Because I'm like, come on, Evelyn. They're going to ding you on that. They're going to ding you. So well, then she's also going to do
by
a...
By the way,
oh,
I
sorry,
do...
go ahead.
No, I was going to say, the other thing is, for me, my pitfalls, which I think I mentioned last week, is you got, what did I say? You got to stay away from pressure cookers and sous vide machines, and I think I'm going to try something new. Those are the three things. And I have to say, by the way, Sarah did two out of those three things.
Yeah. Sarah's a self-sabotager, a self-saboteur. So then Evelyn's also doing a mole, and she's going to do a buñuelo for dessert. And so Buddha is going to do hamachi because that's his brother's favorite dish. And then he's going to do a Mongolian lamb. That's the ode to his dad. And then he's going to do a pumpkin pie because Flo loves pumpkin pie. Okay.
I was like... Now, I feel like the thing that people love talking about right now is how much they hate pumpkin pie. Like, that's like a big thing everywhere. Like, everyone's like, ugh, pumpkin pie is the worst. So here's a great alternative for your Thanksgiving. So I'm like, is pumpkin pie really going to be a winner for Buddha? I was a little concerned about that.
Well, who are these pumpkin pie haters? This is America, and you better keep that commie bullshit in some other country. I don't like pumpkin pie. Who the fuck says that? Show me.
I wasn't saying. I'm just saying it's something that's going. I've noticed it in a lot of cookbooks and a lot of like food programs where they're like, ugh, pumpkin pie, but here's a better version. So I'm just saying, I was afraid that he was setting himself up for failure with a pumpkin pie situation.
No, pumpkin pie is amazing. Everybody can binge pumpkin pie. You can binge that without teeth. Like, you can binge that till you're 100. Pumpkin pie is amazing.
You were such a huge pumpkin pieist.
I love pumpkin pie. Okay, so I have no idea. Yes, I love it.
I mean,
so Jackson's like, oh, I'm worried Boodle was going to be just classic French and boring, but he's telling a story, I guess. I'm just jealous I can't be here to talk about my journey of not tasting things.
Like, shut up, Jackson. You know, I have to say, so after this like preliminary discussion of the things that they're going to make, I actually felt like, I'm going to wait because they get more into the menu. We go over the menu like 3 different times this episode, so I'm going to pause on that really important observation that I'm sure the audience just cannot wait to hear. So then they all go shopping.
Top Chef keeps the talented people around, not the ones that, you know, are fun TV. So by the end, it's like, wow, Marcel got out of bed today. We have some kind of award for that, right? It's like, by the end, you're just like watching people breathe. But they head over to Dickman's Meat, which coincidentally was my name in high school.
Okay. I was going to say, happy pride, Dickman's Meat.
And Sarah has decided she is going to start with a venison tartare.
Yeah, she says she wants her meal to feel like a couple of cowboys went to the Sonoran Desert, happened upon a Michelin kitchen, and then Eric Appert was lost in desert, and then he came to eat it. I was like, actually, I kind of really like that concept.
And then they pooped at raw meat. And then they wondered why they're
pooping. It's sort of like a Mad Lib. Yeah. I like a dinner concept that's just basically a Mad Lib. I'm into it.
Mm. So then they start talking about their dishes again. We're all mad. They're talking about their food on a food show. But Joe and Sarah are talking about like who could win. And Evelyn's saying, well, overall, me and Buddha have been probably the most consistent. And Joe's like, yeah, that Sarah, she's a real wild card, which I think is probably the first time Sarah's ever been called that.
Yeah.
So props.
Wild or a card. She's a real card. So here, this is where I'm going to weigh in. Here comes my observation. So real quickly, this Buddha's menu is going to be, this is sort of repeating stuff, but the first dish is going to be hamachi with caviar. Second is going to be lobster laksa. Third, that Mongolian lamb. Then the pumpkin pie. Evelyn is going to do a scallop crudo. Then she can do crystal dumplings with an aromatic broth. Then she can do a goat curry mole and then the bunuelo that we talked about. And Sarah is that venison tartare, then a squash tortellini, and then a rabbit ballantine or something, and then smoked buttermilk ice cream and acorn cake. And I have to say, after we saw those 3 menus, I actually thought Sarah's was the most interesting and Buddha's was the most boring. So at this point, I was like, maybe Sarah might pull off a surprise victory based on just the menu description alone.
Well, you can never trust what Buddha is saying because he's naming normal things, but then he does them in such a crazy way, you know? And then Sarah does crazy things, but in kind of such a normal way. So
it was just like,
wow, you really turned that sports car into a pedestrian. Congratulations, you're magic. You're like reverse magic.
Yeah, it's like when people ask what your dream car is and you said Hyundai. Congratulations.
So Buddha wants to do lobster, so he's like, all right, I need some fresh lobster. And they're like, hi, you're in Tucson, sir. He's like, well, fresh, please. Fresh lobster. And he's all disappointed he can't find fresh lobster. Isn't it all kind of flash frozen after it's taken out of the ocean? Unless it's like ocean straight to table. How are they going to have non-frozen lobster? And this is not me being a dick. I'm really curious. I have no idea.
Well, you know when you go to supermarkets or fish stores, you see those tanks and the lobsters are sort of like clamoring around like, hey,
well, that's true. Yeah. They probably flew in the same level of seating that the poor sous chefs got flown in on.
Except the lobster can decide on a drink. The lobster's like, I will have a Bloody Mary mix, and that's that.
That's true. God, I'm really dumb. I guess I never thought of that. Like, at the Red Lobster in El Paso, the huge tank of lobster. Like, where did I think that came from? The Rio Grande? Idiot.
Oh, I love the way they really immerse you in the lobster theme by having actual lobsters, and they have little tape around their hands because they're just like, they love accessorizing.
Yeah, those were always a nightmare. I never liked people who can't clap.
Now, Buddha is getting frozen lobster tail, and there's a risk that it can be mushy or something like that. And for all of you who were in suspense about this, because, you know, Top Chef has a storied history of frozen fish, frozen scallops in Chicago, I'm happy to report this is the cliffhanger and also the conclusion of the lobster tail gate, because we never come back to it.
So then we go to Tanque Verde, and they have 5 hours to cook. So Buddha's like, my menu is my family. First, I'm clubbing my brother over the head and using his underarm fat to make hamachi with caviar. Second, I'm strangling my mother and using her cankles to make a lobster laksa. Like, damn, Buddha's really getting dark.
And then for the fourth one, since there was no one left in my family whatsoever, I just took an American flag and baked it.
In the style of someone that I wished was my family, a Malfoy.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So then Evelyn is doing a scallop crudo to start, and then she's going to do crystal dumplings. Okay, we're going over this food a million times.
That's the part that I said. I had gone forward. I didn't realize that I'd gone out of order with this menu, so yes.
No, but they do say it 9,000 times. So then Sarah is doing a thing with the bunny where she's like, I'm using every piece of this rabbit. I'm making a fingernail garnish. I was like, girl. Sometimes it's okay to waste some parts, you know? I mean, plant it in the backyard or something, like, just, you know.
Just get Cadbury egg and be done with it, okay? The thing is that, like, you know, her concept too of, like, I'm going to use every single part. Like, it's actually, I support that worldview, and I think it's really cool, but it's also not revolutionary, and she's sort of coming in like, I'm the first one who's ever thought about being mindful of how I use food. I'm like, don't sacrifice your shot at this for something that's going to be difficult, like rabbit, you know? Because guess what? She winds up at one point, I don't know if it's now or another part, so I apologize. She winds up putting her rabbit stuff into basically a sous vide machine. And what did I say? Don't go near a sous vide machine on the finale. And that's that, everyone. Okay, all you chefs out there who are listening, you heard it here. We're telling you this. We don't want to have to repeat it. If you go to Top Chef and you make it to the finale, don't go near the sous vide machine. Okay?
Yeah.
Let's just one word. Carla.
Yeah, so she's roasting the rabbit bones for a jus, and then she's going to stuff her rabbit thing with a mousse made from the rabbit legs, and then she's got, like, little, like, rabbit nipple, you know, curly cues on top. I can't. So then 2 hours to go, Tom, Stephanie, and Elk Whipple come in, and Sarah's like, oh, my God, I just shit myself. I was like, no, please don't, because you're going to feel the need to use it in something.
Okay? Please don't make me so out of that, please. So Buddha's like, well, my first course, this is very funny to someone. I'm sure everyone will laugh. I learned this from Chef Repair online. And so this is his vengeance. And Eric Pear's looking at him like, oh, congratulations on using my technique I'd used in 1984. Congratulations.
Oh, and I like your sweater. I saw you wearing it this morning. Okay, crazy face. So he's going over his menu for them, and Stephanie's like, well, there's just so much going on. I'm going to have to wait till tomorrow to see it. And I love that about Stephanie. Stephanie has no bullshit in her. She doesn't come on like, oh, my God, that's amazing. Tell me about your journey. She's like, you sound fucking crazy. I'm not judging this. Bye. Is there a snack machine? Did Padma settle her spearmint gum versus Snickers bar debate? Because I could use a snack. Okay, bored.
You know, I think I say this on the podcast that a few months ago I went to Stephanie's restaurant, her famous restaurant, The Girl and the Goat, and they opened it in Los Angeles. And I went, and there were some things on that menu that were delicious, but there were some things at that restaurant that were like, they haunt me to this day. They were so bad. I've never had such bad food at a restaurant in years. And Mike Shoehead was there too. So I guess I'm going to blame Mike. I'm not going to blame Stephanie. I'm going to say it was an off night for the restaurant.
Maybe it was Spoof like, Goat. Spoof Goat!
Spoof Corn. There was like a street corn that had like a sweet coconut thing. It was, I'm telling you, it was like, it was like the flavor would not go away. For like days, I could taste it. And I was like, it was haunting. So I'm like, I want to support Stephanie, but I also want an explanation. Been holding that in for a long time.
I also want an answer to my Yelp review, okay? So then we go over to Sarah, and of course Buddha's watching Eric walk off like, I'm dropping in on your Amazon any day now, Eric. He's like, all right, crazy pants. So we go over to Sarah, and she's like, well, this would be like me and my fiance getting trapped in the Outback with Michelin star miso-inspired courses made from trash. So hope you like it, guys.
Stephanie's like, yeah, I'll text you back tomorrow. Just gonna say that. Won't commit to anything.
And then is Evelyn, and she's talking about her crystal dumplings, and they're gonna be clear. And then her curry mole, and she's gonna do goat neck. And then Stephanie's like, oh, goat. And then they start doing finger guns at each other. They're like, oh my God, you do goat? I do goat. You do goat? I do goat. Yes, goat. Yes.
You goat, girl. So then Tom's like, okay, well, when you're done, meet me at Saddlebrook Grove. And Sarah's like, oh my God, are we riding horses? And so she's losing her mind. She's like, I cannot wait to ride horses. And then, of course,
she's so gather rude. Their
footprints into turn it into miso.
Yes, she's so rude. She goes, yeah, I hope we're riding horses. I want to see Evelyn ride a horse. And then it just cuts to Evelyn's face like, bitch.
She's like, what the fuck?
And also Stephanie goes, wow, finger guns. You know, when it's goat day at the restaurant, that's our favorite day of the week. It was like, you're gross. Okay, so then Buddha. Sure,
the goat doesn't feel the same.
Yeah, no kidding. Some goat family's watching this like these sick bastards. Head it with these people. So Buddha is doing tool like leaves, which is really cool. I love crafting, you know? And when they get on him about doing this 80s and 90s thing, I'm like, yeah, when people actually gave a shit and tried to make something beautiful, unlike today, where they're like, it's rustic. And it's just like, you know, a walking cow, you know, they're like, there, just get your fork cut into that cow and eat it. It's rustic. Like, make an effort.
Make a twill, okay? I would like a twill on my steak, please. Thank you. Okay?
Yeah.
I wanted to look at the cow's face.
Yeah.
So then, Buddha explains the leaves are changing colors on the plate, just like Central Park in New York, which is part of America, which is also my fourth plate. And there's no one else in my family who can be represented in those places. So then now the chefs just head to this ranch. And there's this guy, a very sort of Sam Elliott kind of guy. Although, to be fair, I feel like there are a lot of people in Tucson who just sort of are like Sam Elliott type. Like, they sort of read like Sam Elliott. And so did I ever tell you I went country line dancing in Tucson once?
With Sam Elliott? Because I need that to tie up.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, that's where I'm drawing my Sam Elliott experience
from. Everyone's Sam Elliott. I like it.
It's like a lot of Sam Elliotts.
And so you know, anyway, because I have like a brain that's quickly being smushed into gel because of my treatment of it over the past four decades of my life, I'm thinking of Sam Waterston. So I'm like, you're right. Everybody in Tucson does look like Sam Waterston.
Well, it's like, it's a combination of both. Well, people look like a lot of different things in Tucson, okay? But anyway.
But mostly Sam Waterston and Elliot. Let's face it.
Most people look like their names start with Sam.
If you don't believe us, get on the scruff in Tucson. Sam Neill. Tell us what you find. There's
probably a lot of Sam Neills. I don't know if there are any other famous Sams out there, to be honest. I think those are the three Sams of Hollywood.
So now let's go to my favorite segment of every season, the segment where Padma pretends that she's just as good as a chef as all of the guests that they have on. She's like, wow, chefs, we're cooking for you. Look at us. Congratulations. You're going to get to taste something I call potato salad. Who did we steal potato salad from in this country? That's my question.
So yeah, and this is the chefs are cooking for everyone. The chefs and Gail. So Tom and Padma are also they're also making a lamb. Sorry, Kristen, I know it's your least favorite. Well, hopefully you'll get plenty of non-lamb when you finally make it to Paris. Just kidding, you're still here in Tucson.
So Stephanie, Eric, Repair, Padma, Gail. I just LOL'd it. Padma, potato salad. So Gail's like, Buddha, get your hands out of the figs. And then Gail, all right, Gail, do your thing. Go ahead, Gail. We want to. Gail, do it. Gail, soup's on. Okay, I can't resist. Ding, 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 ding. She starts ringing the triangle.
Gail is so excited ever since they released her from the fig dome. Oh, wow, look at her. She's like she'd been rolling around in fig Newtons for days.
So they sit down to eat, and Padma's like, can I please have that crispy end of the beef? Thank you. The lamb, whatever. Thank you.
Wow, it's been such an honor making potato salad for all of you. I don't know if you understand this, but potato salad is a rather tricky endeavor. First, you have to cut potatoes, then you have to boil them, and then you toss them with mayonnaise. It's very difficult. Enjoy.
And Evelyn's like, she's sitting next to Padma, and she's like, oh my god, pinch me. Padma is sitting next to me. And Padma goes, aww. And pats her on the arm like, you poor, poor, literally thing.
My favorite day of the year is take your poor to work day. Congratulations, Evelyn. You're my choice this year.
Would you like to take some potato home salad home and a tupperware? A tupperware, right? Am I right? Do we have any of those? Poor people love those. You could wrap it in some newspaper if you'd like. If that makes you more comfortable.
Do we have any extra fabric so Evelyn can make a bindle for her potato salad? Thank you so much.
And Evelyn's like, everything I've gone through was totally worth it for this moment.
Wow, that's exciting. What have you gone through? You rode a horse? Wow. Gail was in a cage over a restaurant for 2 days.
So, Buddha, I've been wanting to ask you, did your mother name you? And he's like, actually, my name is Kawhi. Right? My dad named me Buddha because I ate so much of his food, which is funny, right? You know, my dad's name was Spare Rib because he was skinny and he didn't want me to be thin, so he named me Buddha and fed me a lot. I was like, wow, that's like opposite day of my family. My mom could have just, my mom should have just named me Slim or something. I feel like this is all my mom's fault now. All of my food problems are my mother's fault. Newsflash, tell your friends.
I can only imagine what your parents would have named Gail. I'll start Goodyear. Padma, well, that was a little too mean, Padma. That was a little too mean, Padma. Also, shut up, Tom. I'm famous.
Don't worry. I'm going to even make this more awkward so we can get the focus off what an asshole Padma is. So, Buddha, is your dad still working? And he's like, well, in heaven, Tom, because he's passed away. Oh, well, look, that's, well.
Awkward, sorry, Tom. About that. How awkward. God, I'm so sorry, whatever your name is. He can be so rude, that Tom.
Tom's like, basically Buddha talks about how his father passed, but he got the call to come to Top Chef 2 days after, and so it feels kind of spiritual to him, you know. And Eric is like, okay, let me ask you, did Top Chef make you understand your gift more? And Buddha's like, totally. It also made me understand your gift more. I've been reading every recipe book I can of yours. Will you sign my butt cheeks?
And Sarah's like, well, I think what you learn here is how to distill who you are to the purest form of you and the best form of you. And that's why I've decided to make trash miso for all of you guys, because that really represents me.
Wow, we distilled Gail down to her purest form. She's the red M&M.
So Evelyn's like, she's like, well, I was really excited because I knew I would get to see Houston differently. And Stephanie's like, well, I mean, it's funny because, I mean, that you know, tonight's this crazy moment because, I mean, I won. God, it was already 15 years ago that I won this show that you're all vying for. That I won. What were you guys talking about? I'm sorry.
And she's like, I still can't believe I won because my dessert wasn't great. And then they're served their dessert, and it's a, what do you call those
black pans?
The kettle.
Cast iron skillet.
Cast iron skillet, yeah. It's a cast iron skillet cake. And so they eat that, and Gail's like, no matter what happens, we are all incredibly supportive of your careers, and what you have accomplished here is remarkable. Gail, I see your mouth moving, but the only thing I can hear is your blouse. Turn it down. Turn it down, Gail.
Guys, don't get excited by Gail's little speech here. It's the same one she used at the opening of a dress barn in Peoria.
So back at Tanque Verde, Evelyn's like, this is for my family. My win is their win. And Sarah's doing the sous vide on that rabbit. Bye.
Goodbye. Goodbye. It's fun having you.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Now.
Goodbye. You are the weakest link. Goodbye. So, and Evelyn is like,
also,
it's cream.
So, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but it's so weird that someone is using a single use plastic on their please don't be wasteful challenge. Just have to say,
well observed. I mean, she's also endorsing a sort of special way of cooking, right? It's even more than the single use plastic, it's the like, if you wanted a sous vide, you'd have to buy a sous vide machine that you really only can use to sous vide meat. I don't know. To me, cook it over a flame. Be one with the earth.
Yeah. I want this rabbit. Skin it. Stick a stick through its butthole all the way clear to its head. And roast it like a marshmallow, okay? That's how you do it if you're going to do
rabbit
it this
s'mores.
Way.
Rabbit s'mores, okay? That's what we want.
So they're all doing their whole, I've come this far, and this is my chance. My father wanted this for me more than anything. I like trash miso. So they're doing like all their like super inspirational lines and stuff. And then Sarah's smoking buttermilk.
Yeah.
And doing her cowboy tartar.
Mm-hmm. And guess what? Her Ballantines are like a bit raw because the circulator didn't circulate them as well. They're supposed to. So she's going to finish them off in the oven. Well, congratulations. You used the sous vide. You did the sous vide trap. So meanwhile, The judges start to arrive. Padma's like, this is gorgeous. Look how beautiful this is. Of course, I'm not talking about our surroundings. I'm talking about this complimentary invitation to Soho House. Wow, so beautiful. I love the font they used.
And then we come to what Padma does at the end of every season when she's just out of things to say. She just starts going, wow. The rest of the show. Everything that comes out, she goes, wow.
Gail goes, you all look very handsome. Gail, put away your chickpea can puppets and talk to the rest of us like a normal human being. Sorry, I had a hard time getting that one out because I was so taken away by all the beauty of everything around. Wow.
I would like to thank the city of Tucson for not letting us be inside for at least one meal. Thank you. This has been amazing.
I also want to thank all the local bees. They're going to come attack us while we try to have a finale dinner. Thanks a lot, Tucson. Love it.
Wow, Tucson. Love you. The city without walls and ceilings. Amazing. Outside
Could
again.
Someone drop one of these bees into a deep fire and see what happens then?
Evelyn, tell us your menu and then tell us about your first dish and then tell us about the biggest celebrity you've ever sat next to eating potato salad.
Did that potato salad keep? I was a little concerned that maybe some of it would leak out of that bindle on your walk home.
And Evelyn says that she cooks from memory and she grew up Mexican Salvadorian and she's been to Thailand and stuff. So she did scallop crudo, prickly pear, and a chiltepín chili oil.
Wow. Buddha's like, he made a hamachi with sauce vinaigrette with caviar apple and a sweet potato bee. Because guess what? My dishes don't thematically connect whatsoever, but I put little twills on. And so the theme is twill because I've been twilling away in the kitchen. Get it? Get it?
Buddha, why are you crying? He's just getting stung by 8 million bees while he stands there. You poor Buddha. You just see him like staring at his arms like, what is getting me? This is in front of Eric Rapier. Eric Rapier, do you have a bee on you? Oh, I do too, bestie. Call me.
And then Sarah has her venison and beef heart tartare with trash miso from sourdough bread butts. So they're getting ready. They're diving into the food, and Gail leans into Gregory and goes, I'm getting attacked by bees. I know, Gail. It's almost like you're the bargain bin and the bees are you. Wow, you're really getting attacked.
So then we cut to Sarah cooking, and she's like, guys, the problem with food is putting it in the trash. Okay. So then that's what she tells the judges. She's like, guys, the problem with food is putting it in the trash. And Padma goes, wow.
I'll have to put that in my next TV special called Never Watch This, People.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappin's commercial.
So some of them liked, Evelyn. Sorry, sometimes in Top Chef, my typing turns so crazy, I can't figure out, because there's a lady named Brisha.
Yeah.
And I wrote it, and I was like, wait, did I write this wrong? But then I remembered. Her name is actually Brisha.
Yeah.
Brisha. Sorry, I was like confused Trisha, on my own Brisha. Notes.
Yeah. And yeah. Brisha, by the way, I was just going to say that her restaurant, Guelguetza, is here in LA, and they are like mole masters. So I was really excited to hear what she had to say about this. Yeah, as long as I'm going to shit on one LA restaurant, I might as well be nice to another one, which is that if you come to LA and you want some great mole, go to Guelguetza.
Yeah, love mole. It's one of my faves. Yeah. I love a mole. Yeah, I love mole.
Except when that last season made moles every second. So anyway,
yeah, well, not today, him, because that guy was a jerk. What was that guy's name? Gregor? No,
Gabe.
What was that guy's name? Gabe. He was from Austin. Gabe. Yeah. Gabe. He's gross.
Yeah. Gross. So, they think Evelyn's dish is very lovely. But you know what? The scallops are a little underseasoned. So yeah. Tom, get yourself together. They're underseasoned. Big deal.
Well, Buddha's dish was perfect. Flawless!
Oh, that could get, three Michelin stars from any Michelin star restaurant I've ever been to. I mean, that was as many stars as Michelin gives out. There's more stars on this than there are tires on cars from Michelin. That's how crazy. This was a six-wheel dish. Well, six wheels. Loved it.
Well, and just for the record, I think I'd still be more impressed with my son if he actually drove six wheelers than being a mixologist. There, I said it. So then Hunter Lewis from Food and Wine, they're trying to say nice things for Sarah. He's like, well, Sarah's food fit the environment. So yeah, it reminds me of grass and the chairs we're sitting on. It's like if you ever ate a chair, this is what it would taste like. It really fits this environment.
Yeah, really has the colors of the desert in them. I'm like, wow, brown? That's crazy for food. That is crazy. And Gail's like, well, that whole no waste thing is so impressive. Yeah, it's like Gail eating her Ben and Jerry's cartons when she's done. I mean, that really has always been impressive, Gail.
Waste not, want not. Am I right? By the way, I did feel the tartare was a bit under-seasoned for me. I didn't like the way I could really taste the poor person behind this.
Speaking of, hello, Ed Lee, with your Holly Hobby jacket. What did you think of it? He's like, loved the trash miso, but the misstep was that there was only one drop of it on there.
Yeah, well, you know, her food, you could only find it right now, tonight, because it's so inspired by the landscape. I actually just ate a piece of gravel. Which was, you know, it was delicious, I have to say.
Oh, now we know why all the bees are flocking here. They think it's their actual home. They think it's a beehive. It's just like the landscape.
Gail is using Edie's as moisturizer. That could be another reason.
Gail, put that away. So that's neither here nor there. I just wanted to call everyone's attention to it.
So Crystal is Crystal dumplings and Buddha has twill second and stuff. Second course. So she does her crystal dumplings, and Buddha is like, well, I love to spoil my mom with the best seafood I can get, so I got a frozen lobster from Dickman's.
You know, I thought I could get her something fresh that they're offering instead, but I said, no, mom likes frozen the best, so that's what I got her. Lobster, king crab, and butterfly twill, because there's the twill again. Call me, Eric. Call me. I've made a cell phone out of twill.
His twills are beautiful, though. Oh, my God. His last dish. I was like, oh, my God. I just wanted to start hot gluing gun things to each other. You know, I was like, it's time for craft night. So let's see. So, Brisha is like, you know, Sarah's, was very corn. It was a corn dish in every element. Cause Sarah's like, I'm going to give you corn. Then I'm going to give you corn husk. Then I'm doing cob, roasted cob, marinated cob and husk corn. They're like, great, Sarah. Brisha's like pulling a corn, you know, like a long corn hair out of her tooth.
It's like, we get it. And if, by the way, the other thing that Padma's doing that she does in the finale every year, she's going, two courses to go. No pressure. She loves the countdown. She loves the end of the season countdown. So Gail is like, well, you know what, Sarah's, she's very passionate, but the flavors were, I know Padma's going to turn this into something. Clashing. Okay, everyone. Who wants to go for this? We have Dress Barn. We have JCPenney. Where do we want to take this joke? Anyone?
It's like the last time Gail tried to wear matching socks and couldn't. That's hilarious.
I just got a memo from the Biodome saying, unfortunately, we had to expel Gail Simmons for clashing with the plants. Even plants have better fashion sense than her, apparently. Congratulations, Gail. This came from the courthouse.
What about Evelyn's dumplings? They have dumb in the title, so I'm not sure how I feel about them. So I'm going to say dumplings like this. Dumplings! And they're like, wow, this is masterful at restraint. It's very simple and unique. And the food and wine guy's like, she edits things down to their essence.
It's like, okay, Patrick Bateman. So then they think that Buddha's seafood cookery is excellent. But Erica Pear is like, well, you know, Buddha's dish reminded me of the 80s and the 90s. And that's a lot of technique. And Brisha goes, the 80s and 90s are back, though. And he's like, fuck you, lady.
Are you sure it's just not that you're sitting across from Gail? Gail, what is that? A leopard zebra top? Wow. Wow.
Gail, I told you, don't apply your Aquanet at the table.
And Edley's like, you know, I mean, I'm impressed. I mean, his dish is good if you're impressed with presentation, but not everything needed to be there. That caviar didn't work. Yeah, it's like I've always said, jobs for caviar. I'm so sick of lazy caviar.
Padma, I think you misinterpreted what I meant by work. I wasn't really listening, to be honest. Oh, you know, I think it's great. And Tom's like, yeah, it's great. But, you know, maybe Buddha is a little show off. Well, I like that he's showing off. It's the finale. Everyone should show off. That's why Gail tried to crimp her hair. But unfortunately, she crimped some broccoli instead. How awkward.
And Ed says, their energy, it's just like something has been unleashed. Her name is Gail. She's right next to you. You can pet her if you want.
Just be careful of the Edies. It hasn't quite absorbed into her skin yet.
So next up, Evelyn is like, oh my God, Stephanie has goat in every restaurant name. She is the goat chef. So mine is delicious, but it's pretty messy. But God, I'm worried. What's she going to say about my goat?
Well, I'll give you a clue. It goes like this. Wow.
And Sarah's rabbit is pretty much raw in the middle, but she has to send it out because she's out of town, out of time. She's out of town. Sarah could not be here today, okay? She ended up in Phoenix.
She zoomed this rabbit to you, so it's really just a screenshot. You can eat the paper if you want.
So guess what Padma says when she sees it? Wow!
So Sarah's like, well, I roasted you some bunny. Sorry, I thought that'd be a funny joke. I can go back to my, I made you some food out of waste materials if you prefer. No? Okay.
Your branding is trash, miso. Stick with it. So Evelyn's like, I'm doing kermole, which is curry and mole. Curry mole. Because I combined both of the techniques of curry and mole. And there's also nopales and raisins, and squash seeds. And then Buddha serves his Mongolian lamb with roasted eggplant. And Sarah does her bunny. She's like, it utilizes every piece of the rabbit. There's actually part of the rabbit's soul in the jus that you can taste.
So Eric is like, Buddha's lamb was perfectly cooked. It was unbelievable. And this guy named Janos loved the eggplant the most. And then Tom's like, yeah, I mean, the eggplant, that was the star. I mean, give me an eggplant dish and call it a day. I mean, just send me text messages full of eggplants. You know what I'm saying? You know, now, okay, I'm getting some inappropriate text messages right now. I don't know why that happened, but okay.
Eggplant, a star, never heard of her. So Stephanie's like, guys, I cook a lot of goat. Yes, Stephanie, okay? We get it, okay? You're the biggest goat murderer in town, okay? We all bow down to you. So she's like, and this goat needs more flavor. I was like, oh, that's not fair. You can't get the goat lady in here. She's going to diss everybody's goat. Stop putting coconut in your fucking street corn. How about that?
By the way, I'm not opposed to coconut and street corn. I'm just, this was like a sickly sweet coconut. And there was also a chicken that had like a sweet vanilla sauce on it. So
No. That's not okay.
Yeah. So then Padma goes, you know, I feel like this sauce reads a little top note. And since I wasn't glitter, I actually am pretty aware of what the top notes and the bottom notes are. So top note is ha, bottom note's more like ha. And I felt like this was very ha. I didn't like it.
And it's not a curry if the goat wasn't cooking in the sauce. Padma gets upset when it's food that she knows how to make. You know, she's like, yeah. Curry, how could you call this curry?
I mean, I was so looking forward to Evelyn blending two of her skills, which of course is being poor and unfamous. I thought this would be delicious, but it wasn't.
This isn't even good enough to be Anne Curry. All right, let's move on to Sarah's rabbit.
What did you guys think about Sarah's rabbit? And when I ask it like that, I expect you all to say how terrible it is. Thank you. Tom
goes, I like the garnish. It's like, man, Tom's really coming through for these Last Chance Kitchen people. It's like, I will say something nice. It was the garnish. You know, I've never seen a twisty tie used in that creative of a way. Got a little bit of it stuck in my tooth. It did hurt a cavity, but otherwise, very good. Very creative.
Stephanie's was sort of raw in some places and overcooked in others. And then Edley, grasping to help poor Sarah, goes, you know what though? Yeah, it was raw in some places, overcooked in others, sort of gruesome in some ways. And I didn't really like that there was an actual sticker that said recyclable, but, I love the personality. Great personality.
It's like, what, is the dish a sister that you're trying to push off at prom so you can have some alone time to make out with somebody? Who says that?
I know. Padma goes, how close is this finale? Well, I mean, obviously not that close because Sarah just served us literal trash. But how close is everyone else?
They gave us the most personal finale we have ever seen.
Okay, well, Gail, just relax over there.
Wow, Gail's really this is us-ing it down at the end of the table there. So then it's dessert.
Shonda Rhimes, hold on, I've got my dear friend Shonda Rhimes. Hi. Yeah, Gail, I was trying to have a moment. Could you send over some of that singer-songwriter music you play in your hospital show just for her? Thanks.
So now it's dessert plating time, and Evelyn's Buñuelos are messed up. And she's like, we just have to keep grinding them out until we get perfect ones. And dessert presentation, guess what Padma says? I'm not even lying. She goes, wow!
Wow. She's the only one who can add syllables to wow. The way it always goes up and then wow.
Wow. All the desserts are really beautiful. And Sarah's like, yee-haw!
So they're all really beautiful, considering that they were made by donkeys that go down to the Grand Canyon. Oh, you guys made them? Oh, well, how about a wow, like, disappointed.
Wow. So they present their desserts, and pumpkin, this pumpkin pie thing is so beautiful. This is what he used all of those leaves on. It is just gorgeous.
Yeah, Buddha's like, this one is dedicated to my wife, metaphorically speaking, because I like to think that I've married America.
My wife, Mrs. Lady Liberty.
Marilyn Monroe, my theoretical wife of America.
Or as I've come to know her, Marilyn Monroe. God, I love Flo. Marilyn Monroe, sorry. Can't believe I almost messed up Flo's name. Very un-American of me. Bad Buddha. I'm going to go home and jerk off to some Eric Repair videos until I feel better.
This is dedicated to my wife, Abigail Adams. She's married to, of course, John Adams, but I like to think that she's married to me because I think about John Adams. The point is, there's no other wife I can really think about, so I had to come up with Abigail Adams.
So let's see here. Evelyn does her buñuelos. He does his pumpkin custard thing. And Sarah does an acorn cake with smoked buttermilk ice cream. You're done. You cannot cook anymore. Ha, 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 ha.
We can all breathe a sigh of relief now, everyone. They're not allowed to touch the kitchen.
I love when Padma starts copying people with actual emotions because she doesn't have anything to say. So Eric is like, this night was very emotional. She goes, this night was very emotional.
Like how I took your thing but added very to it to really make it more my thing. Wow, I didn't think anything could top my potato salad last night, but tonight proved that some things could sort of approach it. I'm so impressed.
So they loved the buñuelos, and Brisha's like, Evelyn's buñuelos, best I've had. And Gail's like, mm-hmm. I don't know, they had this weird shot of Gail eating very excitedly.
Let me tell you one thing, everyone. There won't be any wait tonight, right, Sarah? So then, and by the way, we really haven't talked about the fact, we've alluded to it, but there were so many bees around this table, and they had the little things going, little windmill kind of things, and there were, I would have gone nuts just that there were things buzzing around my face, let alone bees. I wonder if any of them got stung.
I don't know.
Deep thoughts.
I feel like if one of them got stung, Padma would have said, wow. So I don't know. It could have happened. Eric loved Buddhas. Eric is writing hard for Buddha, which I like, you know?
Yeah.
Because he appreciates his fans. And Tom is like, wow, Draco Malfoy, and that play on leaves. Beautiful. Beautiful. Just really, wow. Whoa. Whoa! And it's like brought a tear to my eye. Now, not as much as that half cooked but overcooked rabbit. God, she could tell a joke.
But it did almost bring a tear to my eye. Is that your sad face? Sorry, Damar's not here, so I have to really put this on someone else. Do you want to cry? Do you want to cry, Ed Lee?
Here's my problem. There was a maple caramel at the bottom of that. Why isn't there more? That's what it needs. It needs more maple caramel. That would have tied it together. Because without that, it's just a little maple caramel. But there needs to be more maple caramel. It's like, okay. Now Tom's found something to be upset about.
And then Janos says that his favorite was the acorn cake. And Eric Repair is like, well, I never thought I would like acorn in my life. I'd never even tried it before. Oh, well, Gail's a real pioneer in this area, mainly because she just likes to compete with squirrels for things on the ground.
And now for a judging poetry slam poetry moment with Padma Lakshmi. Beautiful, warm, comforting. End scene. Thank you very much, everybody.
So wow, dramatic. That was great.
So Tom thinks that the buñuelos were the best thing on the table. And Gregory, who's there, of course, is like, well, they really brought themselves and they really did their best for the finale. It was such a beautiful was such a beautiful night. And Padma's like, I'm incredibly proud of our wows tonight. We have a big decision to make. I played powder puff football. Let's go back to the courthouse, everybody.
As a graduate of a powder puff football program, I understand what it means for things to come down to the wire. So, with that being said, let's call Ali Wong. Hi, Ali. Guess what? I'm eating food in Tucson. I know. Yeah, there were a lot of bees. It was scary. But they all sung gales. It was kind of hilarious. It was like that movie with Macaulay Culkin, but not the same ending. So I was a little sad. Okay, bye.
In this version of the ending, they sung gale and they died from diabetes too, right away. It was the saddest thing I've ever seen. Sarah was in tears for the rest of the evening.
Well, she turned all those dead bees into miso, so it was a happy ending after all. Gail, stop looking shocked, okay?
I'm stuck having bagels with bee-ass miso on them tomorrow morning. Thanks a lot, bees.
Well, we got three completely different meals from three completely different chefs. That was my monologue. It's been a long season. You told your story. It was great. BS. Trash miso. Well done. Padma?
Wow, Tom, you really opened our eyes to things. Three different meals from three different chefs. Wow, you blew me away with that one. I'm glad we came all the way down from the courthouse to hear you say that.
Sarah, your food was a real conversation starter. We all looked at our tartare and we said, wow, I've never thought of making anything that looks like an autopsy before. Well done.
You know, it was a real conversation starter in that we took one bite and said, we'd rather talk than eat right now. Great combo.
And Sarah's like, well, I really wanted to show food in its raw form. Wow. Well, you should
don't tell Gail that twice. You have to unhook her jaws from any side of beef that comes through here.
It's a level of thinking, not only where food came from, but where food needs to go. Down your gullet. God, that's the shortest map I've ever read.
And those maps are for sale at the courthouse, by the way. You have to drop them in a deep fryer first.
I mean, you made butter? You made bread? Wow, so many things that you made.
Wow, I just wanted more seasoning on the tartare.
You know what? And that tartare had a funkiness that I loved. Because it's made of garbage, Gail, for crying out loud. Listen to her.
It was just like a cake eaten out of the trash can the next day. Just like Miranda Gail likes it. So Buddha is like, well, one of my favorite dishes is an erotic Eric repair dish from French Laundry, which I've watched him make on YouTube over and over again.
And Eric's like, well, I thought it was luxurious and decadent. And Padma goes, you are really reaching for some lofty touchstones when you talk about Eric or Thomas Keller. And I think you stood on par with these great titans today. Gail, no, I'm not saying you stand on a tub of Edie's. I'm saying he stands on... Never mind.
Flawlessly executed. One of my favorites from the whole meal.
I appreciated that you used ingredients that were not garbage. Thank you so much for considering us. Sarah.
So then Evelyn, they're like, Evelyn, tell us about your food. And Evelyn's like, I'm Mexican, so I made Mexican food. And Stephanie's like, well, I like this. And you know, it can be tricky to get that balance of the goat and then the other kind of goat. And then like the goat neck, which is my favorite day of the week, by the way. Some people call it hump day. I call it goat neck day. Yoo-hoo, love it. But you know what? You did it. You did it. You did curry mole, which, I mean, wow.
Okay, enough out of you, lady. Let's talk about all of your second courses. Sarah, were you happy with your tortellini? There's only one right answer, and it's not yes.
Were you happy with your shamalini? Tell us the truth. And she's like, yes.
Well, I think the three sisters, you know, that you used in that tortellini, they brought cousins. Making family dad joke about your tortellini, which is I don't really get it, but I did make it, so someone should eat it, right?
Oh, God, Tom. Last thing we need is you making jokes about three sisters, am I right? Well, anyway, your tortellini was shit. I'll say it.
The three sisters were named shit, 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 all right?
Thick, shit, and bland. That was the three sisters' names. Yeah, there used to be an NBC sitcom called Three Sisters. It starred Diane Cannon and Vicki Lewis. And guess what? Even though it was a sitcom, it's still a better version of tortellini than your version. Sorry, I'm really trying. It was a tough pull for me for this
one. I'd rather eat that sitcom than your tortellini ever again. And Gail's like, but the depth of that broth was wonderful. I just think that the ideas were too big for its bowl. Wow, what was the bowl like? Your jeans or what, Gail? Get to the point.
Wow, this is coming from the woman who wears culottes on her hat.
Buddha, you have this beautiful, luxurious laksha, beautiful harmony, talent, skill, comfort, grace, wrench. I'm sorry, I'm just thinking of words now.
Sorry, I was just trying to remember the things that were on my word screensaver, because my laptop says those things.
I didn't love the salmon roe with pickled carrot. It just didn't fit in. Yeah, it was like Gail on her high school trip to Europe. God bless it.
Evelyn, you know, your food has become much lighter and much more bright. It's a very joyful dish. It's the sort of happiness that I imagine many fathers feel when their sons follow in their footsteps. But unfortunately, I can only experience that through your dish.
Your dumplings were like beautiful little jewels. Yes, Gail got married with the ring pop, so that's where she's coming from with that one. Then we go to Sarah, and Sarah's like, I wanted to utilize rabbit. Rabbits are underutilized. Every time I see a rabbit in the road, I think that could be utilized. And I didn't. Too many rabbits are walking around happily in this world. I'm here to fix that. Call the rabbit population! Call the rabbit Sarah, so you can stop protesting. Someone hold Sarah back, please, because she keeps jumping at the table like she's moving for us to protest, but no one's actually holding her arms back.
Watership down. More like down with Watership. Am I right? Down with rabbits.
Okay. More dead rabbits! More dead rabbits! Sarah, please don't spray paint Buddha's face. She just spray painted Buddha's face.
Wow, I think this is the first time I've actually wanted Buddha to come in here. So, of course, I'm referring to the character from The Hunger Games played by a famous person I'm friends with.
Stephanie's like, well, I think that the cook on that rabbit was a little too fast, but the work that went into it was amazing. Unfortunately, none of the work really got parts of the rabbit cooked, or it overcooked other parts, but really great job, great personality.
You know what? I love that you carried the narrative you wanted to tell us through your whole meal. I love the story of saying, hey, we're not going to waste a single piece of this rabbit, and then you cooked it so shitty that we all wanted to throw it out. I love that irony. Good job.
And Buddha, you know, you did a technically flawless meal, but it was just, you know, a little too cleaned up. It was just a little too cleaned up.
But you'll take that, right, Buddha? Right?
And he's like, I'll take it. I will take it.
You know, I thought the eggplant was the star of the show. I mean, it had to be a star of the show because I'm getting a lot of eggplant texts from a lot of men with beards. So eggplant's clearly the star. Everyone loves them.
So Stephanie's like, Evelyn, I work with goat. Finger guns. They're finger gunning at each other. And Gail's like, I'm not sure why you didn't cook the goat in the sauce. Because, I mean, if it's going to be a curry, it needs to be cooked in the sauce. Wow. Single white female over there stealing my lines, Gail. I'm sorry. Why is Gail suddenly sitting with a shawl only over one shoulder? Anybody else notice that?
Hold on, let me call my best friend, Ali Wong. Hi, Ali. Oh, I'm interrupting. You're on the phone with someone else? With who? Gail? What's going on?
I think there's a cow in my backyard.
What?
Oh no, it's a deer. It's a deer. It's a big deer. Jeez.
Wow.
Well,
Sarah, she's gonna make carpaccio out of it.
I'm using every part of you, cow deer. Oh, it just laid down out there. How cute. It was scratching its butt at the same time Bueller was. That's why I noticed it. God, I wish I got a picture of that.
I'm glad you didn't try to milk it. Could have been awkward.
I'm only oat milk now. Thanks. I'm an oat milk guy now, guys. Okay. So,
wow, enjoy your thin milk experience.
Kill more rabbits! So, let's see. Goat. God, I just got distracted by a cow deer scratching its butt.
I'll tell you something. Talking about cow deers, here's the thing, Evelyn. You're missing an opportunity to bring the mole and the curry flavors into the meat of the goat. Instead, it was very, I guess one could say, top note. Ha! You're welcome.
As Mariah Carey would say, woo, woo. Woo, 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 woo. That was topping up.
As so Mariah Carey wouldn't say, we don't belong together, okay?
Sarah, the dessert made me feel like a child again, and it made Gail eat like a child again.
Do we have a bib?
Oh, this is first time I eat acorn in my life. And Stephanie's like, oh my God, and the sauce. I make goats in my restaurant. And Tom's like, delicious. You know, you're staying true to you. And you are, you know, trash. There, I said it. And Buddha, the leaves and the caramel and the leaves. You really made me appreciate pumpkin pie, which I've learned today nobody appreciates anymore. Thanks a lot, Ben.
Now Gail's comment has so much more context. You really changed how I'll ever look at it again. Yes, and by the way, if anyone is having some foliage issues on their lawn, Gail has now offered to eat the leaves.
She the, new leaf, so much. The new leaf sucker, Gail Carmel Simmons.
2022 was all about the leaf blower. 2023 is all about the leaf eater. Congratulations, Gail.
But I have to say, the maple was the sauce, but then there wasn't enough sauce. Where was the sauce? Because there was so much cake, but there was a lot of cake, but not enough maple, and then the balance was off. You're throwing off the balance. What are you doing? You threw off the entire balance of everything. I can't deal with it again. I can never eat maple again. It's like, Tom, fucking calm down. It's like your only complaint, and you're really mad about it. Calm.
I know. Evelyn, let's talk about your Bunuelo. We all loved it. And Ed Lee even put it in his blazer, which was hilarious because I thought that cheap blazer can't look any worse. And then once it had Bunuelo grease on it, I was wrong.
Stephanie's like, but the panna cotta was too firm, but the flavor of it was fantastic. Chefs, I want to say something right now. Thank you for your heart. Thank you for your effort. Thank you for handing me that napkin. Gail, wipe your face. All right, everybody. We have the biggest decision to make of our lives. Please go back and be poor someplace where there's a microwave.
And I just want to say, it's been a pleasure getting to know you through your food. So go on your way, Rob, Tina, and Louise. Those are your names, right? It's been a pleasure right. Getting to know you.
Well, let's talk in private now. Wow, beef fart. Whoa, I mean tartar. Wow, beef fart in a tartar. That was, but you know what? You compare it to the other two things and it falls short, you know? And if it did fall short, it would immediately be butchered and even its toes would be used in a goddamn tartar, which I don't know. I don't know if I would like beef toe. There, I said it.
I don't know. I think Sarah's, yeah, I mean, it fell short and, you know, we've seen Evelyn's dish before, you know? Barely. Gail ate mine off my plate.
But I mean, the only problem with that dish is that it was sitting next to Buddha's first course, and Buddha's was as good as oyster and pearls.
I mean, it's just like poor Brisha here having to sit relatively close to me. No one's gonna remember her. Poor thing, she even bought a new cat pashmina for this event.
Make a Brisha, am I right? Well, you know, I just have to say Buddha is mature way beyond his years. Yeah, like Gail's underarms skill. Really? And second, let's go over Sarah's dish. And Erica's like, it was confusion. There was too many elements in this. Like, is YouTube free? Do people get YouTube for free? And Bradman's like, it's really a shame because the cornbread was just so flavorful. Poor trash, Sarah.
But let me tell you about Evelyn. Those little dumplings that Evelyn gave us, I did love how glassy, translucent, and miniature they were. Wow, it was like they were all grains of paradise, which I have. Very rare, by the way.
So, Eric, you thought that Buddha's was dated, right?
Wow, unlike Gail. One thing they'll never say about Gail, wow, she was dated.
Unless, of course, we're talking about her culottes, again, on her hat. And Eric is like, well, you know, in the 80s, we were prisoners of these techniques, but now we are free. We are free to judge people for doing things wrong.
We are free to judge people for doing techniques that we force them to do all through the 80s and 90s.
So now let's talk about the third course, or as I call it, wow, 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 three wows, third course. Get it?
Wow. Did you mean to wow?
Did you mean to wow?
Well, I thought there was beautiful goat and the sausages draped on top, but they weren't harmonious. I mean, do I have to make the culotte joke a third time in a row for crying out loud, people? Someone help me.
We need harmonious here. They can't all be top notes. Am I right, Mariah? So Stephanie's like, you know, I mean, Sarah's course was nice. I mean, she used every part of the animal, but do we really need to use part of every fucking part? You know, there was just too much going on. There was too much. When we got down to the rabbit's lip gloss, I was a little bit done eating. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, I think I... Was this sauce made of rabbit iPhone? It was too much. So Tom's like, yeah, there were way too many grains. Too much grain sauce. It was too grainy. And some ways, she went against the grain. Oh, a little dad joke. A little dad joke there.
Wow.
Yeah, like a...
Wow.
Wow.
And then Buddha. Well, that demi-glace was delicious and shiny. I loved it. Beautiful, creative, emphatic, cursive, tabletop, fork.
Oh, I thought I was going to say one more word, but I chose not to.
Pause.
Surprise. I'm quiet. Let's go on to the dessert. Wow.
That brings us to Gail's breakfast. Dessert.
Gail goes, well, if I think of the dessert I want to eat again and again, it was everything, right, Gail? Sorry, you got to limit it.
I want to eat Evelyn's again and again. And boy, did you. But the panna cotta was, you know, like half of it was good, but like it was hard. It was hard. Wow. And now we're going to criticize people for getting too hard? God, you really can't win with this crowd. I loved it.
First he wants eggplants, now he complains about things being too hard. I think that went over Tom's head. Should have worn a fedora next time to catch it.
Well, you know, I think, you know, the panna cotta, you know, it's just too firm. And I don't like things to be too firm. But then again, maybe if I'd been a little more firm, my son might have followed in my footsteps. But who knows?
He doesn't like things too firm, he says, as he has a purple pill smoothie. All right, let's move on. Eric, what do you think? And he's like, Buddha, very impressive, the aesthetic, but maybe some more sauce, you know? I don't know, but I feel like I should be angrier, so I will say caramel, molasses, caramel, molasses. I'm doing this right? Am I earning check? You're doing great. You're doing great over there.
You know, I was really impressed with Sarah's acorn cake. I thought it was really wonderful. It was delicious.
Yes, and I thought it was totally innovative. Well, Gal, it's maybe an innovation for you using a caramel cake as a bra, but for everyone else, it was just a cake.
Acorn cake, the only channel cake I can watch Brenda Bledin mystery shows on. Delicious. And Stephanie's like, I want to drink a cup of the caramel. Sorry, but drink, give, Gail.
You know who drank it at the end there. I'm not talking about the bees.
Well, all three of our chefs accomplished what they set out to do. They stayed poor and sweaty. Evan and Buddha were more technically successful. Buddha showed us dazzling fireworks display and took us on a journey. And Evan got on a horse. I think we have our next top chef.
Do you like how we just dropped Sarah from the conversation? Not even bothering, right?
Someone throw some change on the ground so they know to come running back in.
You know, chefs, what you gave us tonight was absolutely extraordinary. More importantly, you're realizing what it is that we do. It's about connection to family, but also the community, the people you work with, all the different Sam Elliotts in your community. And if you're the future of our industry, we're in okay hands, I guess. The truth is, when you look at Sam Elliott, you think, God, he could have been an astronaut. And then you think, hey, wasn't he in the right stuff? Maybe he was an astronaut. And you thought, you know what? You chefs, you guys do have the right stuff. And maybe you guys can cook in space one day. And if you don't...
You guys were as masterful as Sam Waterston in a Sam Elliott film. So, that's good.
I only wish that Sam Waterston and Sam Neill and Sam Elliott were in a movie directed by Sam Mendes.
I am Sam. Padma? Padma?
Buddha! Oh, I'm sorry, Tom. Is it my turn to speak? I was getting bored.
Buddha! Your name's not even Buddha. You're the next top chef person. I don't really know whose name. One.
You are top chef. Now, could you clear these dishes out from behind us? Thank you so much.
Gil, stop eating things from the ground. It's a leaf. It's delicious. Oh, we've got to stop shooting outside. Seriously, this is getting embarrassing.
Okay, could someone just sweep up all these dead bees and give them to Sarah? She's got some sort of miso deadline she keeps yammering on about. I don't know.
And Buddha's like, oh, I can't believe it. I'm just a 15-year-old boy from rural Australia with only three people in my family and never met a woman besides my mother.
I didn't dream to be an astronaut. I didn't dream to be anything else. I just dreamed to be close to Eric Rapeo.
My heart has been repaired. You understand? And I actually started crying with Buddha. I'm such a sucker. Yes, I got salty squirting out of my eyes. I was so confused. I didn't know what happened. But yeah, I was crying because he's like, I wish my dad was here. And Padma's like, he is here, sweetie.
Now remind me your name again.
Yeah.
I'm sure we can find your father. Can somebody call customer service and have them use the microphone? This poor person is getting salt on my pashmina.
Is your father Sam Elliott by any chance? Because I think there's a Sam Elliott behind the shack over there waiting to put you on a horse.
And that's pretty much it, huh?
Yeah, that was the end of the season. I mean, Buddha I thought was the shoo-in to win, but I started to think that maybe Evelyn was going to, you know, pull a fast one or something like that, but... You know, the truth is, I actually really like Buddha, so I was very happy. I liked all three of them.
Yeah, you know, I wanted Evelyn to win, but I'm glad that Buddha won. He did a great job, and his food was wonderful. Astounding. It was beautiful.
He was immensely talented. He was really great. And that wraps up Top Chef for the season. So sad that it's over.
Did that need to be an hour and a half? No. But you know what? It's our last one of the season. We just have to... Get them all in there. Get as many dress barns as we can into one recap.
Get all the trash miso references.
I'd like to congratulate Gail, who won't be internet bullied for another 9 months or so.
And of course, this was the end of the season. So if you're listening saying, God, that was funny, but those guys are so mean. We love Gail Simmons. This is just... What we think Padma thinks about Gail Simmons.
Yes, we open the season. Disclaimer. Yeah, we open the season with a Gail disclaimer. A disclaimer. Gailmer. How would you say it? A dis Gailmer. And we end the season with a Gail disclaimer. Love you, Gail. Stay gorge. And everybody, thanks so much for being with us this entire season. If you weren't, shame on you. Go back to the beginning. You're not getting any from Eric Repair. I'll tell you that much. And we will talk to you next season. We also do other recaps. Come listen to those. And we'll see you over on Take a Seat. Thanks, everybody. Love you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Dana C, Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels. Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
Wee McLovin, Karen McClelland.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson. Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
She's our queen, Marie Levine.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. We want to hang with Liz Lang. The incredible edible Matthew sisters. No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Paging Paige Mills, Paging Paige Mills.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.